Okay, thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, first, thank you for being here. This is a... We've had those 40-plus days of wandering in the desert, if you want to say, a very unusual Lent, Triduum, Easter. This is not by chance. None of this is by chance. The way, what's coming, see, Jesus, remember, every 40 days, something beautiful happened. 40 days in the desert, 40 years in the desert. 40 days of prayer of Jesus, 40 days of praying, during Lent for, Easter. What the Lord has done for us is he's making us aware that times are different now. Times are completely different. This is not just a bump in the road. It's a new beginning for Christ and his church. As Father Sergio said, we have now entered a new phase for this great gift of the divine will. And this is an amazing time to be alive. It's certainly astonishing. Who would have ever have thought that no public masses for all of Lent? I mean, that was the time for the church of to really... focus on prayer, fasting, penance, and conversion. And the sacraments and the sacramentals, in the church are so important. Yet, something has changed. Something has changed for the good. You have to understand this. This is for the good. Jesus said, when the churches close, predicting to Louisa that this was going to happen, he says, I have closed them. He says, I'm tired of the sacrileges, tired of the indifferences, tired of being ignored, he says. And so the way to get through what's coming is to get closer and closer to Jesus and Mary. And that means that our job is to learn how to get closer to Jesus and Mary. And that's what the Book of Heaven is all about. The Book of Heaven tells us how to begin to live this abundant life. So we'll begin here with step one. Louisa and the six steps of living in the divine will. This is what Our Lady taught Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. And what we're going to focus on today is only day one. We're just going to focus on this first day of how essential it is to hear what Jesus is saying and Our Lady is saying. So this is what she says. She says it very, very clearly. Now, my child... Child of my heart. Okay, so we are in the heart of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Listen to your mother. So the first thing is to obey, to listen. Banish your human will, she says. Okay, so I hear a lot of people say, well, I've given up my human will. I've surrendered and now I'm living in the divine will. Well, we're going to see that this is important to want to do that, but to accomplish it, that's a whole different story. And this is why Our Lady is stressing to Louisa this first day. She says, banish your human will, content yourself with dying rather than conceding one act of life to your human will. So when we begin in the morning with our prevenient act and then our actual acts throughout the day, Our Lady is saying, be prepared, content yourself to die rather than to do one human will, do one act in your human will. And she says this, your celestial mother would have been content with dying thousands and thousands of times rather than doing one single act of her human will. And then she says, don't you want to imitate me? And that's what we want. We want to imitate Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is why our Lord has given us the Book of Heaven. The Book of Heaven shows us how to do this. Now, we hear from the saints, how beautiful Our Lady is, how magnificent our Lord is from the saints. now you're going to hear from Jesus and Mary what they expect of us. See, we've entered a new time, a new era. Remember, Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation said, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. A new era is begun. And that's why John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, this was Luis's director, St. John Paul II said, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. Okay, so what does God have to do? He has to make us aware of a new era, like he did with the Jews through the desert, like he did with, you know, the apostles when he spent 40 days in the desert. You know, our typical Lenten season, 40 days of prayer, to get ready for what? The crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So now Jesus is saying, I want you to become aware of the time that you're living in. Time is now coming to an end, according to the Blessed Mother. That was 73 years ago she said that. So she says, I would rather have died 1,000 times than do one single act of my human will. And she says, don't you want to imitate me? And our response is, yes, we want to imitate you, Blessed Mother. We want to be one with you, Blessed Mother. So she says this, if you keep your human will sacrificed. Now, what does sacrifice mean? I've asked people that. What does sacrifice mean? Well, it means to promise God that you will be faithful. No, that's a promise. What does sacrifice mean? Sacrifice is to destroy, to kill what is opposed to what you want to do. Okay, for example, I remember one time during Lent, I was fasting, and I basically cleaned out the refrigerator before the 40 days. And there was one banana in the refrigerator. And it was like the third week of Lent. And I looked at that banana and Jesus says, don't waste anything. You know, this is what I'm saying to myself. So I said, I have to eat that banana. So what happened was I ate the banana and it was very clear. The Lord goes, do you know what sacrifice means? It's not to give life to it, not to make. So what I learned from that Lenten season was a little bit more about sacrifice. You can sacrifice a banana for fasting. You can do that. I mean, well, Jesus says don't waste anything. And I'm always trying not to waste a thing. And, so this is what Our Lady says. If you keep your human will sacrificed in honor of your God, your creator, the divine will shall take the first step in your soul. So the first thing she says is sacrifice your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. Sacrifice it. Don't give life to it. Make sure it's dead, that it has nothing to do with you. And this is what it is. He says very clearly, she says very clearly, if you sacrifice your human will in honor of God, the divine will should take the first step in your soul, and you, listen to this, shall feel molded with a celestial aura, purified and warmed in such a way as to feel the seeds of your passions being annihilated. And that's when Adam fell, Jesus tells Louisa, then his passions took over. And what the Lord is showing us through the Blessed Mother is the first step is sacrifice your human will in honor of God. That's why when you begin your prevening act in the morning, you say to Jesus, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, with all of mankind, past, present, and future, every single person that ever existed, I want to adore you and love you and praise you and thank you and bless you and worship you in every thought and every word and every deed that I do and that everyone else has ever done in all of creation. This is an explosion of I love you to the throne of God. This is how Adam lived. This is how Jesus lived. This is how Mary lived. This is what they taught Louisa, how to begin to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God and worship God continuously. We do this when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We do this when we receive Holy Communion, the when we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, we begin to adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to bless him. But that's usually for that 15 minutes or that hour that we spend with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus says, I'm preparing you and me, he says, to have a perennial communion with God. That means never to be separated from God, never to be separated from God, to adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him. How do you do this? How do you do this continuously? That's what's in the Book of Heaven. Jesus says, this is how I want you to live. I want you to live the life that Adam had before the fall. I want you to live the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary while they were on earth. This is what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. It was a new and divine way of holiness. And now this is given for the whole world. So what does the Lord do this year, 2020, to see clearly? He's saying to us, I want you to stop. And everything stopped. Why? He says, a new era has begun. We have to understand, this is not by chance. The Lord is in charge. He is in charge. He rules. He reigns. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The evil one, his time is over. God gave him that opportunity 100 years ago when he pleaded with him. When the evil one pleaded with Jesus, give me 100 years. This is what Pope Leo XIII tells us. God says, you have it. And when the miracle happened, a miracle of the sun happened, excuse me, in 1917, sorry, when the miracle happened in 1917, he knew he had to do something. So what does he do? He starts the Russian Revolution. And what does Our Lady say at Fatima? Through Russia, it will spread its errors throughout all the world. This is where we've been for the last 100 years. But that time is over. The 100 years was given. Once he saw the miracle of the sun, once the evil one saw the miracle of the sun, he says, I've got to do something. This is Mary who's going to crush my head. So he knew his time was up. And now everything that's happening, you look around, everything that's happening has been planned by God. And we either are in his plans or not. So those that are seeking God, those that are wanting God to know God's will, he has given them the Book of Heaven. Now, there are some good souls that don't want this, and that's okay. That's Jesus says there'll only be a few at first. Why? He says, because everybody's got a plan. The religious have a plan. The holy people have a plan. And it's their plan. I'm going to get closer to God, and I'm going to follow the devotional life, and I'm going to get ready for this new beginning. But Jesus says, I have a better way. It's through what Jesus is saying, what Mary is saying to Louisa. It's the same thing with St. Faustina. What did Jesus say to St. Faustina? He said very clearly that the final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's why John Paul II spent his entire pontificate going around the world to get the world ready for what? For the divine mercy. And at the year 2000, what did he say? He says, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. In the year 2000, he gave the church this great gift of the divine mercy, this devotional, this final devotion to his church before he returns. This you have to understand. You look at Father Gobi. What did Our Lady say to Father Gobi? Get ready for the return of my son. Look at what Our Lady said to most of the apparitions throughout the world. Get ready for the return of my son. We have to understand the time we're living in. So what is God doing? He's given us the Book of Heaven. To what? To help us become aware of how to live this life. So this is what Our Lady says. In this way, she says, you'll feel molded with the air of a celestial aura, purified and warmed in such a way as to feel the seeds of your passion being annihilated. And when you feel, you shall feel placed in the first steps of the kingdom of my divine will, where you've entered into it. We've begun. And this is why she says this. You'll feel placed in the first steps of the kingdom of my divine will. Therefore, be attentive. And my understanding of be attentive is read every day. That's why we have the book of heaven, the calendar. If you read the calendar every day, by the end of the year, you've read 35 volumes. The reason volume one isn't in there was there's no dates. What happened was when she began, she really began with volume two, which was at that time volume one. And when her spiritual director read volume two, which is really volume one, the spiritual director said, "How did you get here? How did you get to this point?" You know, because he saw the vast difference from what Louisa was saying compared to what the saints were saying about their life. And that's when she wrote volume one. And when you read volume one, it's very painful because God crushes her. She was born to be crushed. And then, because there's no dates in it. She just wrote this at one point to give to, and then when the spiritual director saw, volume one, he goes, "We'll make this is how it began." And then volume two became volume one, volume three, and then that went on from there. But when you read volume one, a lot of people become very afraid. They see God crushing this little person and they can't understand this. They go, "Why would God do this to a person?" And the reason is, with any potter, when you have, when you make an object and it's not correct, you crush it down again and you begin again. And that's what God did with Louisa. Louisa is the newborn. That's what Jesus calls her, the firstborn of the divine will. Louisa learned how to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And that's why we're reading right at the very first page here what Our Lady said to Louisa of how to live this life. So she says, be attentive. So that means to me, read every day. This is when you become a third order Benedictine, the promise, you see, this is the beauty of God, the brilliance of God. You're joining a religious order, but at the same time, you're promising to read, you know, you read what Benedictines say, but your goal is to read every day. Why? The Benedictines is the oldest order. And the Carmelites say it's really not, but Benedictines, it's the oldest order, which all the other monasteries copied. And Jesus is beginning this new life with the oldest order again. He's saying, let's begin this. So the Dominicans and the Franciscans and all the other religious orders will all follow, the lead of St. Benedict, really. And the prayer life changes. It's not just following the rules of the founder or foundress, but it's to listen to Jesus. It's to listen to Mary lead us and guide us. And I can guarantee you, in 1 year, reading the 36 volumes, reading the calendar, what will happen is you cannot be the same anymore. Your spiritual life has changed so dramatically that the first thing that happens is the first step is you're not going to give life to your human will. I mean, you're going to be attacked daily. The evil one hates us and he attacks us daily. But the battle, see, we are in the final battle. With this battle, we are going to win with God. God wins. And that's why God is looking at us and saying, you know, be attentive. If you are faithful in listening to the Blessed Mother, in listening to Jesus, if you are faithful, I, the Blessed Mother, and Jesus, her son, shall guide you, shall lead you by the hand like a good mother along the interminable ways of the divine fiat, and I shall keep you sheltered under my blue mantle. When I built my chapel, the very first thing I did was I wanted a blue wall. we have a beautiful large picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we wanted that mantle of Our Lady all over the whole chapel. We need Jesus and Mary to teach us, to lead us, to guide us to this great gift. I'm sorry about that. We need them to protect us. She, the Blessed Mother, crushes the head of Lucifer. She will crush the head of our passions when we are faithful to what she's saying. So this is what she says. I, Mary, and my son, basically, when you talk about Our Lady, you also have to talk about Jesus. When you talk about Jesus, you also have to talk about Our Lady. I mean, the two go hand in hand. I shall keep you sheltered under my blue mantle, and you shall be my honor, you shall be my glory, you shall be my victory, as well as yours. So the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like Jesus and Mary. That's the beauty of this. So I sacrifice my human will. The first thing I, Jesus, want you to do, basically, is to mortify your human will. Okay, mortify, mort. It's to die, to have it die. That self must be destroyed in you. I want. Now, one of the ways to do this, and it's a pretty good way of knowing how to do this, is to get rid of the word I, me, and my. I remember one person I was talking to at the end of the first 15 minutes. I basically said, you talked about yourself continuously. Well, I just getting my personal understanding of myself to you. I said, Jesus says, you can't do this. It's got to be we. What, when you wake up in the morning, it's not what am I going to do, like your prevenient act. Jesus, what are we going to do today? Lord Jesus, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, I want to adore you and praise you and thank you and bless you. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, all of us together want you to be our Lord, our Master, our King, our Savior, our God. Little by little, the only time you really can say I just said it just a second ago, but is when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this anymore. I make an affirm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. That's when you can use I. Other than that, throughout the day, Jesus says, mortify your human will. Get rid of the word I, me, and my. Try to speak to someone without talking about yourself. We're nothing. Look, just think about the universe. All of creation, as far as you can see in the galaxies, we're not even a speck. You can't even see the Earth. And we are much, much smaller than the Earth. When we look at the universe, we adore God. I adore you and love you and praise you. How powerful you are, how magnificent you are, how spectacular you are. You are my Lord, my Savior, my God, my Master. So Jesus says this, the very first thing I want is you to mortify your human will. That self must be destroyed in you. So discipline yourself not to use the word I, me, or my. I remember in the 70s, you are something. You got to be somebody. No, God has to be someone. We are nothing. Our whole focus is on God. It's not that we go, pity, pity me, how terrible I am. No, God is beautiful. God is holy. God is magnificent. Our focus is on Him and Him alone. And when we do this, when we forget about self, what happens is we are listening to the very first thing that Jesus is telling us. I, God, want you to keep it sacrificed as victim for me so that your human will and mine may become one. Aren't you happy? See, to constantly be using me, I, my, really saddens the Lord, to say the least. Why? It's to love your Lord God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And with that, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Why do you love yourself? Because Jesus is there. Why do we love our neighbors? Because Jesus is there. And so we have to get things back in order. Jesus says the whole world is upside down. Everything is opposite to what God has planned. So he's asking us, the little children, the holy divine will, to read the book of heaven, to learn from Jesus how to make everything right side up. So Jesus says, aren't you happy that this has begun? Little by little, this is happening with each and every one of us. Volume 2, 2/28/1999. Now, this soul, this is Louisa, and hopefully it's us linked to Louisa, just as she abhors sin, also feels compassion for others and prays for those whom she sees walking the path of the precipice. Now, when I see this word, I have some friends, the principes, and every time I see this word, precipice, I think of principe, and I can never say the word. So I'm sorry about that. It just clicks. I see principe, but they're not on the precipice. Okay, so she, listen to this. This soul, the soul who wants to live in the divine will, one with Louisa, abhors sin and feels compassion for other souls and prays for other souls that she sees walking on the path of the precipice. She unites herself with Jesus Christ. See, we don't want to be separated from Jesus or Mary, and offers herself as victim in order to placate divine justice. So one of the things that God gives us in the divine will is to become victim. And this is the sacrifice of sacrifices. To be a victim in the divine will is not to give life to your human will any longer. To spare other souls, other creatures, the deserved chastisements. And if the sacrifice of her own life were necessary, oh, how gladly she would make it for the salvation of one soul alone. That's Louisa. That's Jesus. That's Mary. This life of Jesus and Mary is given to Louisa. We are willing to sacrifice our life for one soul. One soul. Now, we look at our family and our friends. We see that a lot of them are at the edge of the abyss. Very far from Jesus, very far from his church. Now, we love them. And how do you help them? You repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You see what they're going through, and you say to Jesus, I'm sorry. Well, first of all, you say to Jesus, thank you for showing this to me. Number two, you say, I'm sorry, Jesus, this is happening to you. And the third thing we do in the divine will is I want to repair this and all sins, as if it never occurred. What happens at that point is the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. That's what God's doing right now. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. How? By repairing and redoing. Jesus says, this is the reason for giving you the divine will. To be with Jesus crucified, to be with the Blessed Mother. That's what Louisa did. She was one with Jesus and Mary. The 24 hours of the Passion, Jesus said, when you read the 24 hours of the Passion, you're reading about me. You're reading who I am, Jesus says. And what happens is where the 24 hours of the Passion is read, those areas, well, the chastisement will have a lesser effect in those areas. See what's coming? What's coming is the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. And what Jesus is doing, he's getting the world ready for his return. The kingdom is coming. So what does he say to us? He says to us very, very clearly, read, study, put this into practice. I want to show you the how and the why this is going to happen. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, everything becomes clear. For the past 50 years, we've had really no teachings. We really have had no teachings. I remember, it was in 1967, we had Bishop Sheen here in this diocese, and he left a broken man. The battle that he was in was a battle of jealousy, basically. And he said it was the most difficult 2 years. He didn't stay here for 3 years that he ever had in his life. It was the most painful that he ever had in his life. What was so spectacular about him when he talks about this, he said, but I wasn't punished enough. He knew his sinfulness. You can't get into heaven with one venial sin. You have to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. That's what Jesus says. You must be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's all based on love. And he knew that he was very far from that. And after he left, they threw out the Baltimore Catechism. There was no teaching. No teaching at all. So what does Jesus do? How do we begin to learn about the Catholic faith again? How do we, you know, John Paul II put out the Catechism, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. But the Catechism is for children to learn, to study. When I read John Paul II, when I read his things, he's very, very full. he loves to talk. Pope Benedict, when he would say something, he would say the same thing that Pope John Paul II said, but he would make it very concise, very, very understandable. It's the same depth, but they had two different styles. John Paul II wanted to fill us with as much as he could, where Pope Benedict would write very simple understandings. And what Jesus is now doing with the Book of Heaven is, when you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus is speaking to you. The Blessed Mother is speaking to you in the way that you can understand. If you are a doctor, he will speak to you from that perspective. If you're a farmer, he will speak to you from that perspective. See, you have to remember the word Jesus, the word of God. When he speaks, he says, each word that I speak is a divine life. This is what he's trying to get across to us. He wants us to have these words that he, the word, is speaking, which are infinite. There, he says, each word that I speak is a divine life. So when you read it again, he expands your capacity. When you read it again, he expands your capacity. He's filling you, if you want to say, as John Paul II did with his writings. But his message is very, very simple, like Pope Benedict. Very simple, very beautiful. And this is what God is trying to show us. He's trying to show us this new and wonderful beginning. So he says, volume 4, 12, 25, 1989. Do you promise me to be always victim for love of me? And when we say yes, then Jesus says this: I'm going to give you a second baptism. And when we read this, we go, there's only one baptism. And Jesus said, that's right. It's this baptism, he says, is going to free you of your passions. The baptism of water, we are now in God's image. Okay? This baptism of fire, Jesus says, we're going to enter into his likeness. Through the holy baptism of the church, we begin to be in God's image. We begin to see God in the Blessed Sacrament. So you see Jesus in the host. That which looks like bread and tastes like bread, is our Lord, our God, our Master, our King, our Savior. He's our everything. We spend hours with him every day, being alone with God. We begin to hear when the gospel is proclaimed. We begin to hear Jesus speak to us. We the odor of sanctity, when incense is used, we begin to recognize our prayers are going to the throne of God. We taste God when we receive Holy Eucharist. See, our senses are becoming more aware. Now, with his second baptism, this is what Jesus is talking about here. You'll read about it. It's in volume 11. The second baptism, he says, if you promise me to be always victim of my love, and just as I am love for you, as we enter into this baptism of fire, remember Jesus says, I have a baptism on how I wish the world were ablaze. He's talking about the divine will. That's what's coming. This fire from heaven that's coming is symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's nothing to be afraid of. For those who love Jesus and Mary, it will be ecstasy. For those that are terrified of Jesus and Mary or don't want Jesus and Mary, it'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. Why? God is saying, my kingdom's coming. Everything else has to leave. If we're not with him, how can we, if we don't want him, how can we possess it? So what Jesus and Mary are showing us in the Book of Heaven through Louisa is how to get closer and closer to God. So he says, do you promise me to be always victim for love of me? Now, this was volume 4, and then in volume 11, Jesus explains this baptism of fire. A lot of people say, tell me right now what's going on. I want to know what this is right now. Give me the answer to it right now. And it's like, hey, read. All your answers, all your questions to your answers, all your answers to your questions are in the Book of Heaven. But you got to read it. Jesus will speak to you. Jesus will teach you. Well, I want to know right now. I want to know right now. God doesn't work like that. You put the seed in the ground, and then what happens? Then it finally grows. There's no fruit on that tree because there's not even a tree. You got to wait until it matures. And that's what God is doing when you read the Book of Heaven. That's why I say read, and at the end of a year, watch what God will show you. So he says this, do you promise me? I solemnly promise. See, when Jesus asks Louisa something, Louisa would always say yes. She would always say fiat. So when we read this, it's the same thing. Jesus is saying personally to each and every one of us, do you promise me to be always victim for love of me? And our response should be immediately, yes, I promise you. This is what you want. This is what I want. Just as I am a victim for love of you. And Louisa says, yes, yes, my little treasure. Jesus would appear to Louisa like a little baby. And Louisa would hold the baby Jesus. And she'd say, yes, yes. She goes, you're my little treasure. I promise you. And then what does Jesus say? I am. This is how he's talking from God as a baby. I am not content with the word that you speak. I want an oath. I want a solemn promise. And also, listen to this, an underwriting with your blood. This is a blood oath. Do you want to be victim? Like I am a victim for you. I want you, I want a solemn oath. I want a blood, this written in your blood. Now that doesn't mean you write it in your blood. It says basically, I want what you want. This is so serious to you that you are speaking with a blood oath. And okay, Lord, I want this blood oath. I want this. And that's all that God is looking for. With Abraham, he says, I want the sacrifice of your son. And Abraham took the knife and ready to dispatch his son. And the angel said, stop. We understand. All we wanted was your yes. That's the same thing with the divine will. All that Jesus is asking is for your yes, for your fiat. Are you willing? I don't want to hear just your yes. A lot of people say yes to God and then do what they want. I want this to be so solemn that it's a blood oath. I want you to understand what I expect from you. Now, remember, I was talking about the catechism, the Baltimore Catechism going, and people now as Catholics, they have no understanding of what they're doing. Basically, they've not been taught. Jesus is teaching us how serious he is when we come to him. He says to us, I gave a blood oath for you. I shed every drop of my blood to buy you so that you no longer belong to the evil one. And he says, do you do this? And then what does Louisa say? And Louisa says, if obedience wants this, I, Louisa, shall do it. I, Jesus, listen to this. And this is what we have to understand. I, Jesus, want your heart to be in this continuous attitude offered in spirit of sacrifice. So Louisa repeats what Jesus says. I want my heart to be in this continuous attitude. I promise you, I swear to you to offer this in a spirit of sacrifice. I no longer want to do my human will. Volume 4, 6:18, 1901. Don't you know that everything must be sacrificed for me? Think about it. Friends of mine who, when they say, I'm going to get a business, I'm going to have a business, I basically say to them, it can't be your business. You consecrate this building, this business to Jesus, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It can't be yours. Your family, you sacrifice them to Jesus. Jesus, these are your children. I'm taking care of them for a very short period of time. I want them in heaven with you. Your health, I'm only here for a short period of time. 70, scripture says, 80 if you're strong. I consecrate my health to you. My finances, they don't belong to me. They're yours. I consecrate them to you. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying very, very clearly, don't you know that everything that you have, I, God, have given to you, and therefore it must be sacrificed for me, not only the soul, but also the body, and that from every tiny part, little particle of your being, I, God, demand my glory be shown. Every thought, every word, every deed, I want my glory to be shown. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. And we have forgotten that. When we look at Christ crucified, when we look at Christ crucified, we see our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He is our God. We surrender everything to him. And this is why Jesus says this. He says, and besides, don't you know that from the state of union, we become one with Christ, one passes on to another one, which is that of consummation. We're entering into this consummation with God. We no longer belong to ourselves. This great gift of the divine will, your whole life changes because God becomes everything in a way that only a God could tell you about. Jesus is revealing to us as we read, as we study, as we put into practice this great gift of the divine will. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.